listen to the music, the sound of the angels. Come see this child who can make you whole. Lying in a manger, away from harm and danger. Oh, joy, joy in my soul. Oh, joy, joy in my soul. He was sent from up above, his special gift of love, more precious than silver or gold. He was sent this holiday to take our pain away. Tell it on the mountain.
that Jesus Christ is born. That's the reason we're here this morning. Amen. To tell that great story. I told the choir this morning, can we just today, one more time, present the great news that Jesus came. He was born in a manger of Bethlehem. There was no room for him, the Bible says, in the inn. But he came and he brought Mary, his espoused wife. She came into a cow stall and they wrapped the babe in swaddling clothes. Would you listen this morning to the great song that says, Mary, did you know?
This morning, say amen. I want to welcome everyone to our Christmas service here at Calvary. And And let me just remind you, we'll have another Christmas service on Christmas Day next Sunday. But so thankful and grateful for the setting we have this morning with our beautiful Christmas tree shining, glowing, lighting, lit in the back. And the lighting is just great. And just appreciate everything that's set this morning. It truly reveals and is significant to Jesus being the light of the world. And so we're grateful for that. I want to mention some things this morning, and then we will move forward in the service. I want to mention Brother Leonard Palmer. He went to have some testing done yesterday, so remember him in prayer. And Bobby McClendon, as he tries to get better from his sickness. Good to see Miss Nancy this morning. And also, I think I'm better. Tried to rest my voice this week a little bit. And they said I had... Yeah, she's good. She's good. She is. She has been waiting on me and translating for me. And so, yeah. Yeah, yeah. We hadn't scheduled it yet, but appreciate that, Brother Harold. Sometime in the new year, Christy, she'll go for an outpatient procedure of removal of some polyps. So remember that in your prayers. I told the Lord this week, I said, "No, Lord, I've been doctoring my throat, haven't been talking much, and so I'm just going to let it loose on Sunday morning now, Sunday morning, Sunday night." And so whatever happens, happens. If I bottom out and it explodes, and I sound like Minnie Mouse by the time I leave, then that's just going to have to be the way it is. But let's remember the service this morning. Of course, our special music. Our hearts have been touched already. And then our Christmas offering in just a bit. We'll have our offering plates down front for that. And this is an opportunity to give above a tithe. And a tithe is 10% of your increase, but your wages. But then an offering is the voluntary thing. And so we're doing this. We've been doing this annually. We've been coming here going on 6 years in July. Pastor is five. We've been doing it every year. And so just an expression of thanks to Jesus for coming, doing what he did that he didn't have to do for somebody like us. And so we'll have the offering plates down front. Miss Amanda is going to sing, and you can come and give your prepared offering for that. Remember that. Also remember the CLU Ladies Fellowship, Christmas Fellowship, right after the AM service this morning in the Fellowship Hall. Tonight at 5 p.m. we'll have our candlelight service, and everyone will receive a battery-powered, again I say battery-powered, candlestick, little light, little tea light, and we have something special prepared for tonight, so be here at 5. You'll be thankful that you will come and be here. Also remember our memory tree, looks like it's getting filled up. And several ornaments have been placed from last Sunday to this Sunday in remembrance of a loved one who's gone on before them. And so remember the memory tree. Looking ahead a little bit, next week there'll be no Wednesday night service. That's the 21st Wednesday, no service. Spend time with your families and think about Jesus, which I know you will. And then next Sunday morning will be no Sunday school. It will be 11 a.m. service only, no p.m. service. And we'll be having Christmas communion next Sunday morning on Christmas Day. And so remember that. And going into the week after that, right before New Year's, which New Year's is on Sunday, there'll be no midweek service on the Wednesday after Christmas. And then New Year's Day, Sunday, we'll have the morning service, but no p.m. service. And then the Wednesday that follows that, we are back on schedule, full speed ahead. Remember those things this morning. Just want to make sure I got that out there and in your hearing so you'll know. All right. Also remember, we have Christmas offering envelopes this morning. And so if you need one of those, we have those to my right, your left, over here behind Miss Catherine on the platform there. So remember that. All right, well, let's pray. And nothing's being rushed this morning. It's all about Jesus. And so we're going to take our time and worship Him. Father, we love You today, and we thank You for coming to earth, Lord, and depositing Yourself in a virgin womb, being born, walking among men, Lord, and being obedient to the Father's plan, Lord, being humble, Lord, showing Yourself through Your humility. God, we can learn lessons from that this morning. And Father, going to the cross, dying, being buried and raising again on the third day. We're thankful for that. I pray today that You would just bless the service, bless the tithing offering, a part of the service, and then the Christmas offering part of the service. And of course, the preaching, and then the singing, and the instrumentals, and everything else, Lord. We pause, we take our time, and we just say thank You for Your blessings on us. We love You today, and we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. If you will, take a hymnal. Church, stand with me. Choir, stand. Turn over to page number 408, 408, down at the bottom of the page, and let's sing. Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Statement that he had called late, you know, Wednesday morning. It was actually Tuesday. I'm getting old. I get my days mixed up anymore. So I apologize to him and to you for telling you wrong. But what I was trying to point out was no matter how late it seems like we get a message to teach a lesson or bring God's word, He will provide what you need. What I was trying to say, and I apologize to you, Justin, because I did not mean anything against you, because I love all of you. Yes, sir.
I'm using some of that in children's church this morning that you gave us Wednesday.
So. Good, good. That's a good lesson. I had never seen it that way before. And I hope if y'all did not hear me, that Randy has a copy of it, and you will listen, because I had often wondered, how did the wise men, how did they know what that star meant? Study it. It will take you a long way through the Bible. But it's amazing what you can realize when you let God lead in His Word. And that's what I was trying to express to the church. No matter how short a time you got, if you come up and someone opens the door out there in this world for you to step in and teach them of Jesus, He will give you what you need to say. And all I can say is, bless His holy name. And thank you for the opportunity, brother.
Thank you. All right, remember, COU right after the morning service. No choir practice this evening, okay? It's candlelight service tonight. We do things a little bit different. No choir practice this evening, but please be back for the evening service at 5. And then is Monday night the seniors?
Sure.
The seniors got together last Monday. We had a wonderful time. We had a fun time. So I encourage you. We're going to plan more things for the seniors, which is 50 years over. And we just want to do things to, you know, get closer together, enjoy each other's company. And I have to give a special, wonderful thank you to C.J. Martin, because he drove the van. So thank you, and I guess thank Brian for letting us use it. But anyway, thank you, CJ. There you are. I love you. And he was awesome.
Amen. So they had a great time, and we praise the Lord for that. Please try your best to be here back this evening for the candlelight service. This first offering, again, is our tithes and offerings. This will be the first offering for the Sunday morning service, and then we'll have a special offering immediately following that. Father, we thank you. Praise you, Lord, for what our hearts have already felt, what our ears have heard this morning as the choir is saying. Lord, thank you, Lord, for their faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for our musicians and how we have been blessed. And, Lord, we just praise you and thank you for that. Now, be with us now. Bless this offering. You know exactly what is needed as far as the church, the business of the church. And then, Lord, I pray that you just be with us through the day. Be with our pastor this morning. Give him, Lord, I know you've given him a message. May our hearts be open. Lord, I pray that you'd give him great speech and clarity this morning. Touch his voice. Lord, may we receive just what you have for us today. Thank you again, Lord, for the opportunity of being here. Now, bless the offering. We'll praise you now. Thank you for all that's done. And thank you, Lord, for who you are. In Jesus' name.
a star, while angels sang to lowly shepherds. Three wise men seeking truth, they traveled from afar, hoping to find the child from heaven. And falling on their knees, they bowed before the humble Prince of Peace. I bring an offering of worship to my King. Deserves the praises that I sing. Jesus, will you receive the honor that you're due? Oh Lord, I bring an offering to you. The sun cannot compare to the glory of your love. There is no shadow in your presence. No mortal man would dare to stand before your throne, before the Holy One of heaven. It's only by your blood, and it's only through your mercy, Lord, I come. I bring an offering of worship to my King. No one on earth deserves the praises that I sing. Jesus, will you receive the honor that you're due? Oh Lord, I bring an offering to you. I bring an offering of worship to my King. No one on earth deserves the praises that I sing. Jesus, will you receive the honor that you're due? Oh Lord, I bring an offering to you. Oh Lord, I bring an offering to you.
Don't understand why we celebrate this day. They wonder why we worship every time we speak His name. We sing, come all ye faithful, let us adore the King. We are looking past the stable to a hill called Calvary.
That's why.
Enjoy the Christmas singing this morning. Say amen. 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 The world sees them as a baby in the manger on hay, but we see them as our Savior that took our sins away. Wonderful, wonderful words to that song. Wonderful, wonderful words to all the music this morning. And thank you, Brother Allen, for what you do and for rounding it all up together. What a blessing. What a blessing. And there was something I was going to say, but it left me. If it's important, it will come back to me. But If you have your Bibles, let's make our way to Matthew chapter number 2. Matthew chapter number 2 is going to be the place of our reading this morning. Matthew chapter number 2. It's going to be a special service tonight at 5, and going to have, of course, how we regularly start services off with a song or two, offering. And then, of course, the lights will be dim and you'll have your light. And we'll read the Christmas story. Got a special video I want to play at the end that really has touched my heart. And special song, special video. So remember that tonight. Looking forward to that. Let's bow for a word of prayer, and we'll introduce the subject this morning. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. Lord, the world sees you one way, but we see you another way. And we pray that the world would end up seeing you the way we see you, high and lifted up. Father, I pray for the next few moments that you would give me clarity of mind. Lord, give me an ear, Lord, spiritually for you as we attempt to preach one more time from the Bible, a scene from the Christmas story that pertains to the Christmas story. And Father, we'll be thankful and grateful for you helping us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We've been preaching on Jesus through the month of December, as you know. And we will continue that this morning, tonight, and next Sunday. Of course, tonight we'll just be reading the story, the Christmas story. And so we have really, really enjoyed preaching the Christmas story from different angles, as we do each year. And we're here in Matthew chapter number 2. And we have the wise man or the wise men part of Jesus and his early years. This is the account of the wise men and their part of the Christmas story. I said the wise men part of the story of Jesus in his early years because it certainly had to do, the wise men, with the first couple years of his birth, of his life. So this morning I want to talk to you for a few moments on the wise men scene. The wise men scene. And we're not here, of course, every year I say this, we're not here to split hairs, to throw my finger in front of your face and say the wise men were not part of the manger. But I will say, biblically, the wise men were not part of the manger. And it's okay if you have the wise men around your manger. It's okay. But we'll cover that this morning. But as we look at the wise men scene and the wise men story, I do think of four things that speak to me. These four things as I read the wise men story, the account here in Matthew 2. There's some things that jump out to me. There's some things that pertain to me and to you. So this morning, the title of the message is The Wise Men Scene. And I want to share with you four things that are relevant to you and that are relevant to me from this story. Let's read verse number 1 while we get started. Matthew chapter number 2 and verse number 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, Thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, and frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. I want to stop reading there, verse number 12 this morning. And again, I want to talk about the wise men scene. Four things that are relevant that stand out to me from this story that are relevant to all of us. In verse number 1, we see the dedicated. The dedicated. The Bible says, Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. So we see the dedicated. And you ask, who are the dedicated? Well, I believe it goes without saying that the dedicated were the wise men. And they were dedicated this morning because of the duration of their journey. They left the east, most say Persia, and those along those lines from the east, they left the east and they went to Bethlehem. And the duration of their journey was 2 years, most commentators say. Notice, if you would, in verse number 7, the Bible says, Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And then in verse number 16, Herod puts out an order. And here's the order. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coast thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. So we have these verses that tell us basically that these wise men, from the time they saw that star in the east and the journey they took from the east to Bethlehem, basically was a 2-year journey. And so we see here, because of that, the dedicated. These wise men were dedicated men. And I want to say something about these wise men that were dedicated men, that no doubt it took great dedication to continue going after the Messiah's star. It took great dedication for these wise men to continue day in and day out going after the Messiah's star. Think about it for a moment. All of the elements of daily travel, they had to deal with that. Think about all of the aches and pains that they may have had personally, day in and day out. Think about their transportation, the camels. Think about how they had to be nurtured, they had to be taken care of. And so no doubt that this 2 years of these wise men leaving the east and going after Jesus, it's seen in this duration of time, their dedication. Each and every day they woke up and went toward Jesus. Each and every day they woke up, no matter about the aches and pains that they may have had, they were dedicated and they were committed to go after the Messiah's star. So you may say this morning, Brother Justin, what does that have to do with us? Well, it has everything to do with us. Because we can glean from these wise men and their travels, their aches and pains and the elements and the weather that they endured for those 2 years. The same goes for you and I. Those of us that are saved by the grace of God, God has put it in our heart to go after Him. And Paul talks about in Philippians, he says, if I may apprehend that for which I have been apprehended of Christ Jesus. Paul says, at the moment of my salvation, Jesus got me. And since He got me, I've been going after Him. And so we can say, in all honesty this morning, that it takes true dedication to go after Jesus. Because if we wake in the morning and we have a headache, that don't mean it's a timeout from our spiritual journey. It just means we have to push through. And some of you this morning have surgeries coming up. Some of you have came out of surgeries. Some of you have been to the cemetery. And you're trying to follow Jesus. And it all comes with great dedication. And we see that from the story of the wise men, how that no matter the elements, no matter the weather, no matter the aches, no matter the pain, they were continuing to follow after the Messiah's star. My word of encouragement to you this morning, my word of exhortation to you is to keep following Jesus. Keep going after Him. Come what may. Like the old phrase goes, forgive me for my speech, but come hell or high water. Keep following Christ. Doesn't matter the aches or pains. Doesn't matter the sorrow or the woes. What else are we going to do? Are we going to fall by the wayside? Are we going to stop coming to church? Are we going to stop seeking Jesus in our daily devotions because of setbacks on the job? Because of pains that we feel? No. Listen, there are multitudes upon multitudes this morning. Because of aches and pains, because of setbacks, heartaches, because of things at work, because of things at school, many people have given Jesus the back seat of their life. Well, Jesus, whenever I get this straightened out in my marriage, I'll come back to church. Jesus, whenever this thing gets straightened out at work and I can concentrate better, I'll get back in my morning devotions. This morning we can look at these wise men, how they rode on their camels, how they weathered the storm and the sand and the dirt, blistering and blasting in their directions, all their pains and all their heartache and all of their sorrows and all their woes. They still decided to follow Jesus this morning. Follow Christ. Doesn't matter what happens in life. He's our helper. He's our hope. He's our friend. He's our brother. He's our father. He is everything to us. Keep following Jesus. Keep following Him. Come what may this morning. What we need to do, some of us need to say, Jesus, I was wrong. This is where You belong in my life. And this is where I belong. Right here. Jesus, I was wrong. Father, it was an honest mistake. I tried to steer my own life. What else could I do during that time when so-and-so passed? Father, what else could I do when I had the phone call that it was cancer? I panicked, Lord. I tried to figure it out on my own. Jesus, what was I supposed to do? I was going through withdrawals and the drugs were coming out of my system and I didn't know what to do. And I made a foolish decision. And I left fellowship with you. But Jesus, take the wheel. Jesus, stir my ship, Lord. Drive my car, Jesus. I know that my way does not fill the emptiness in my heart. The way that I do things and operate, Lord, it does not suffice, Lord. I need you in the driver's seat. Far too many tears, far too many times of sorrow by me being in the driver's seat. Jesus, take the wheel. This morning, the wise men were following that star. Didn't matter what came. You say, Brother Justin, that's easier said than done. Yeah, it is. While they continue traveling, doesn't mean they didn't feel the hurt. I don't know about you, but has there ever been a time where you was on the beach and a big old gust of wind picked up and that sand just sticking you inside of the head like little needles? Oh, that was just one little aspect of their journey. When those winds would pick up in the desert, that's why they would wrap themselves with, wrap their heads. They had these facial and head wrappings to protect them from the elements. No telling what other things that are not recorded in this journey that actually happened to them. No telling. We just speculate. But as I stand back and look at the wise men scene, I see the dedicated. And as I look this Sunday morning over the congregation, I see the dedicated. You're here this morning because you're dedicated. Everybody in here has a story. Everybody in here has problems. And everybody in here, let me back up, no one in here is perfect. We're all weathering this storm called life, going after Jesus, and we're dragging our old rotten flesh around with all its inclinations that wants to leave God's side, that wants to get drunk and high, that wants to do all of these things and not include Jesus. We're all in this thing together. But you're here. You're here. Let's let this Sunday be the first Sunday of the rest of our life. How about that? Let's build off this Sunday. Let's come back next Sunday. And not just coming together corporately, but when we get home, let's try to sacrifice some things for times of devotion with Him. Doesn't matter if it's a minute. Doesn't matter if it's 5 minutes or an hour. Depends on how deep you get in your devotion. Depends on the duration of your devotion. Because church, our way is not working this morning. But we see the dedicated. Let me mention this about the dedicated. They had a couple things to lean on while they were traveling. Number one, they had the prophecies to lean on. Notice in verse number 5 and 6, as they were given report to Herod and his men. Verse 5 says, "And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes in Judah, of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." They had the prophecies to lean on. They were on the camels, and maybe a little bit of doubt crept in their minds. Oh, what are we doing? We left our families. We left our places of living. We've been on the road for about a year, and all the elements and our aches and pains, is it worth it? then all of a sudden, one of them reaches for the prophecies out of their backpack. Oh, yeah. It's worth it. Oh, yeah. Our journey's not in vain. We actually are heading somewhere. We saw the star. We're heading toward Him. The Messiah has been born. This isn't in vain. Every heartache we've felt has been for a reason. It's a small price we've had to pay in order to see Him. And I want to say today that we have the Scriptures to lean on during our journey from earth to heaven. And when one day we stand before Him and we see the brilliance of His shining face, and we know that it really sinks in our hearts that He washed our sins away, we will know that it'll all be worth it. And we won't think about the aches and pains that we've traveled down here below. So they had the prophecies to lean on. But I like this. My speculation here. But they had each other to lean on. Think about it. They had each other. Suppose one of them name was Jim. And Jim said, I don't know, Bob, if I can continue doing this. It's been a long way. Jim, we have the Scriptures. It's all worth it, brother. You know, there's always that one that's encouraging like that. That's Jim. But then Bob's discouraged. Oh, I don't know. I know that, but I just feel down today. And so what Jim does, hold on just a minute. He tucks his Scriptures away. That's a mini camel right there. I couldn't hop on, or if I hopped off a big camel, it'd be go bye bye, Justin. I'm done. Come here, Bob. It's worth it, brother. It's worth it. We have the Scriptures. Listen, when you left home, you told your family, you heard from God, and you set out toward the Messiah's star. Don't doubt now. Don't feel bad now. Don't turn around and try to go home now. We're closer home. We're closer to the star than we are back home. Keep going, Bob. Listen, I'm here for you. I love you. You say, what's the last one's name? Oh, that's Bubba back there. That's Bubba. We got Jim, we got Bob, and we got Bubba. What can I say? And so Bubba's, oi! That's more of a pirate's thing, but ahoy, matey. And he has his scope on the star. He says, Jim, Bob, you won't believe it. We are right around the corner. I see the big billboard that says, Welcome to Bethlehem. We're here. And so there is this encouragement within the group. They traveled together. You and I are traveling together. Let us continue to edify and build up, not squash and defeat one another, but build up one another. Now, from what I study and what I see, they're called wise men, which the original word is magi, where we get the word magician. And most believe it was a group of men made up of maybe a teacher, a priest, an astrologer. Depends on who you read after. That's not the main idea this morning. But I will say this. They had each other, and each of them had a gift. Each of them. And so Bubba uses his scope to see how far they are, which brings encouragement to the group. And the priest has prayer time, and the teacher reads the Scriptures. However you want to look at it, the priest can read the Scriptures, and the teacher can pray. We're not arguing over that. But the truth of the matter is, they all had a gift. And they all had a talent. They all had an occupation. And while they were on
while they were going through their process trying to get there with all the ups, the downs, the aches, the pains, they used their gifts and talents to edify. Let us do the same thing. Edify. Use your gift. Use your talent. Use whatever it is that comes easy to you that you know builds up the house of God. Do that. And it'll make life easier on the rest of us as we go from earth to heaven. And so they had a couple things to lean on while journeying from the east. They had the prophecies. They had each other. There's no way I'll finish this message this morning, especially wanting to take time on it. Let me mention this. Y'all not in a hurry, are you? Number one, we see the dedicated. But number two, you know it. We see the devil. We see the devil here. Notice, if you would, in verse number three. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. The word troubled, you go and look it up, it means agitated. Y'all know where I'm going with this. That word troubled means agitated. It means to get angry. Herod was king, and Herod had a kingdom. Yet here this Messiah was threatening his kingship. And so he heard of these wise men that came and looking for a king. They come to worship him, the Messiah. And Herod got troubled. He got agitated. Herod was angry, and all Jerusalem with him. Everybody was scared because Herod was scared. I didn't say Harold a moment ago, did I? Thought I said Harold. Herod got agitated. Herod got angry. And whenever you go to do something for the Lord, you agitate the devil. You anger the devil. But there's something else here. Not only Herod is a type of the devil, but Herod's a type of the flesh. Because you see, Herod wants to be king. Herod has a city he's running. Herod has things the way Herod wants it, and Herod's not going to let someone else come in here and be king. Because of the new birth, we were given the Holy Spirit, and on the inside of every one of us there is that are saved, there is a Herod, and there's a Christ. There's part of us that wants to be king. That's part of us that wants to be first. There's part of us that's about me and mine and no more. It's all about me, myself, and I, and what I can get accomplished and what can make my life easier. That's the Herod we are challenged with every day. I'm here to tell you I got a Herod inside of me that wants to be king, Brother Ceylon. Herod wants to sit on the throne, and Herod wants to call the shots. Herod wants to do things that please the flesh. And that's exactly what the Herods do in our life. Our flesh wants to be pleased. Our flesh wants to be patted. Our flesh wants to have its way. And at the thought of Jesus sitting on the throne of our hearts and calling the shots makes us agitated, don't it? Is anybody in here? You don't have to raise a hand or say anything, but I wonder if there's anybody that's in here that's agitated just being here this morning. Because there's all these things you want to do after church. And there's all these things that you have on your agenda that you wouldn't tell anybody here that you are planning to do. But they're on your agenda because it's your life. And you're going to do what you want to do. But yet, since you've been here, you have been agitated in your spirit. You have been a little confused in your spirit. You have been challenged in your spirit because Jesus is wanting to sit on the throne this morning. But yet we have our plan on the outside of church. Now, I'm not necessarily talking about family functions for Christmas gatherings. That's fine. But I'm talking about this wrestle. I'm talking about this warfare, this battle over kingship. Jesus wants to sit on the throne. Listen, there's times where I get irritated at Jesus. Y'all looking at me like that? There's times where I get upset with Jesus and I try to explain to him what's going on in my life and what I need. I'm trying to explain to my Savior what's going on in my life and what I need. He knows what's going on in my life and he knows what I need. It's just the hair inside of me. I try to outthink God. Has anybody here ever, before in their life, ever thought that, you know what, I just might have gotten God on this one? Yep. He hadn't said nothing lately. Nothing bad has happened. I think I got God on this one. Wow. Does that mean I can be a God? Hey, some people think that way. Listen, we ain't got God on that one. Justin Hales ain't never got God on anything. God is just up there saying, son, son, why do you wonder? Why do you stray from my side? Child, child. And that's an old-timey song, gospel song. Child, child, why do you wonder? Child, child, why do you wonder? Why do you stray from my side? Justin, if you're not going to listen to me, you're just going to have to experience it for yourself. Go ahead. And then I experience it, and I go back to God. I say, God, please forgive me. You knew what I was going to do before I did it, and I did it anyway. God, if I was you, I'd kill me. I've said that several times. God says, son, I knew what you was going to do before you knew you was going to do it, before you even asked me to save you, and I saved you anyway. Why would I kill you? And I say, praise the Lord. A just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. That's why I can rise up again. It's because I'm forgiven. That's why you can rise up again, because you're forgiven. Let's just put Jesus in his rightful place and allow him to battle the Herod that's within us. Let me mention this. Not only do we see the dedicated within the wise men scene, we see the devil or the flesh in the wise men scene. But then, number 3, we won't be much longer, we see the details in this wise men scene. Look at verse number 11. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. 3 details about the house scene. Number 1, they're in a house. They, back in the book of Luke, chapter number 2, you'll read that when Jesus was born, he was laid in a manger, a horse trough out there in the field with cattle, is what we believe. But now the Bible says the house. If it was still the manger, it would say the manger. If it was still the field, it would say the field, but it says the house. Definite article here. The house. Back in Luke 2, the manger. And so that tells us that some time has passed. They're no longer in the manger scene. They are now in a home scene. That's one detail I wanted to mention about this house scene. So we can't place the wise men at the manger. We can place them at the house. And then the Bible says, and when they were coming to the house, into the house, they saw the young child with Mary. And so the Bible doesn't say babe, baby, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in the manger, and then the wise men came and seen him. It's differentiating. There's been a lapse of time. They're now in a house. He's now a young child. Herod put out the hit for 2 years and under to be put to death. The wise men calculated when they seen the star and how long their duration of time has lapsed since they started their journey. About 2 years. And so it's young child Jesus, not baby Jesus now. But get this. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. Didn't worship Mary. Our Catholic friends, they, no knocking on them, but they worship Mary. Am I right, Miss Cece? Miss Cece knows a little bit about that in the past. They worship Mary, and they have the rosary beads and all the prayers on each little bead, and that could probably benefit some of us to get a good consistent prayer life started. Praying a prayer around a bead around our neck. But we don't believe in those things. We're not praying to Mary. We're praying to the Father through Jesus. And we worship Him. We make obeisance to Him. We surrender to Him and not Mary. Now, we're not downplaying Mary. She has her spot in the way it all came about. She was the one that God, the angel said, you're going to be impregnated with the Son of God. Joseph was involved, and it was his espoused wife, and they weren't even married yet, and her belly was showing. And so many people had part in this. We're not minimizing them, but we are lifting up Jesus, that He's the one to be worshipped. And then let me just, while we're here, the wise men opened their treasures. They presented unto Him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The gold was brought because it's to be given to a king, King Jesus. Frankincense was brought and burned, I'm sure. This speaks of deity. This was also performed in the worship service in the temple. And myrrh was brought because this was a perfume that was added to dead bodies. An embalming, anointed perfume that was anointed, used to anoint dead bodies, part of the embalming process. And so gold for King, King Jesus, frankincense, deity, God in the flesh, worshipped above all. Myrrh, because of the death He would die, be buried and rose again. These wise men believed in the Messiah and His mission. And so we see those details. And then lastly this morning we see the departure. Talking about the wise men scene, the dedicated, the devil, the details, but then the departure. Look at verse 12. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. They came one way and met Jesus, spent time with Him. But as a result of that visit, they went home another way. Now, Herod was after them, but we can stand back and take a look at that and say, yeah, that makes sense. Because time that's spent in the presence of Jesus, there's always going to be something different about us when we leave. Each time, if we truly just silence everything going on, our schedule, our thinking, and just say 5 minutes with God. 5 minutes, 5 minutes. 1 minute, 1 minute. We will truly glean something out of that 5 minutes, that 1 minute, and we'll be different. Every time we come to church, we have come together not in vain, but we come together to worship. And when we do, we ought to be different. We ought to go home a different way than we came. Amen. Those wise men came one way and they left another way. Saying that, we follow Jesus here on earth through all the aches and pains, the ups and downs, the ins, the outs. And we are following Him down here one way, moving forward. But then one day we're going to meet Him and we're going to leave another way. We're going to be harpazoed out of here, raptured out of here. And today, this morning, I welcome His coming, Brother Don Nettles. I welcome his coming. For the Lord Jesus to come quickly. That's the message this morning. The wise men seen, the dedicated, the devil, the details, and the departure. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you for who you are and for what you do. Thank you, Lord, for the service in its entirety this morning. What a blessing, what a blessing. Thank you for touching my voice. I pray that you would just be with us during this time of invitation. But God, we ask for a wonderful time tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Please respond for whatever needs you may have. You may just want to come and say thank you. Feel free to come. Anybody else?
I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back.
Feel free to just come and praise him.
No.
Still given.
No, none go with me. I still will follow.
No, none go with me.
I still will follow.
No,
none go with me. I still.
Come on down. You'll be glad you did. We have some coming now.
No turning back.
It's all about Jesus today. Still singing. If you need to come, pray for these that are here.
I have decided.
Sing it with us.
Oh Jesus, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus.
No. No turning back. No turning back. Closer to go forward than it is to go backwards.
The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross.
Still singing while we have those praying.
I have decided.
Have you decided?
To follow Jesus.
It's a daily decision.
I have
daily.
To follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning.
Thank you for those who have responded. Of course, we're still remaining quiet for Brother Trail on this side. And hope you enjoyed the service this morning. And it's just a joy to be able to preach the Christmas story, the different scenes through the month of December. So I thank the Lord for allowing us to do that one more year. And so we appreciate that. Remember, CLU ladies, I think there's some food down there. So I may have to, I wouldn't do that to you. I wouldn't sneak in. But anyway, y'all remember y'all's get together with the food just after we say amen on our close of prayer. No choir practice this evening. And I know a lot of people have family things going on. We totally understand that. But if you can, we'd love for you to be here tonight doing something new, something I've always wanted to do, have a candlelight service. And you say, Brother Justin, what's a candlelight service? Well, people do it for different reasons. If you watch the news every day, there's typically a candlelight vigil over someone who is shot and killed, which is so sad to report. But we are having a candlelight service, and in like manner, over one who gave his own life for us, the light of the world, Jesus. And in the darkness of the room, to have each of us a light burning, I just think it gives a different feel. And so we're going to have that. Again, a video, a couple other things to close out the Sunday with. Looking forward to that. Remember that. Anything to mention before we go? Praise the Lord. I got my voice. Amen. Praise the Lord. And all right, we'll be dismissing a word of prayer. Thank you for coming. And we'll see you here in just a little while. And Brother Johnny Eccles, would you close us out in a word of prayer?